This is John Amato with Crooks and Liars, and I am joined by a very special guest, Miss Shock Doctrine herself, Naomi Klein. Naomi, thanks for joining Crooks and Liars and jumping back into the blogosphere.
Great to talk with you.
Well, it's a busy time today. I'm sure everybody's asking your opinion on what's going on. And just real quick, you know, tell people what really the Shock Doctrine is and what is disaster capitalism?
Well, the Shock Doctrine is a political strategy that the right has been perfecting over the past 35 years to use various different kinds of shocks. They could be wars, natural disasters, economic crises, anything that sends a society into a state of shock to push through what economists call economic shock therapy, rapid-fire pro-corporate policies that they couldn't get through if people weren't in a state of fear and panic. And this is obviously a move that the Bush administration is very, very fond of. They did it after 9/11 and privatized the war on terror. And we are seeing the Shock Doctrine in action right now with the exploiting of people's fear, trying to deepen that fear. We saw that with Bush's address to ram through just unprecedented corporate giveaways, which will later be used to rationalize cuts to social programs and more privatization and deregulation in the name of getting the economy back on track after they've screwed it up.
That's it in a nutshell. We are really witnessing it firsthand, up close and personal. And now at least, you know, with your book and with your ideas, we have a blueprint to draw on to actually see how all this is taking place. And again, and you know, when you look at $700 billion, and then you go, well, how much is Barack Obama's if we nationalize healthcare? I mean, something, what was, I saw a figure, $85 billion. Well, when you're talking about $700 billion and $85 billion, you know.
$85 billion is AIG's bailout alone.
There you go. We'd rather bail out AIG than help the American people with universal healthcare. And it's really a sad state of affairs. And today has been, as you know, a three-ring circus.
It has, and I think it's really important for people to understand that this bailout is as bad tomorrow as it was today. And the only thing that's changed is its bipartisanship. A couple fig leaves have been, you know, put in front of it to make it a little more presentable, but the core of this deal is totally corrupt. It is a bad plan. The only people that this plan is good for is Wall Street. There's no guarantee that it's going to fix the problem that it is supposedly going to fix. But one thing we do know is that it is a bomb that will explode on U.S. taxpayers because of this massive debt that has been incurred. I mean, this $700 billion is a twice as large as the projected deficit for this year. So this is an incredible burden. This was described, you know, that these bad debts were described as sticks of dynamite in these companies that the government is taking out of their hands. Well, it's not just taking them out of their hands, because now the dynamite is all in Washington and it's going to explode. And then it will be used against whichever administration, you know, if Obama wins, then this will be the dynamite that will be used to say that he can't afford his health plan.
That's right, and if McCain gets in, then he can cut every program he wants in the name of saving America. I'm cutting this to save America. I mean, this jingoism is just is sickening. And this whole, you know what the Democrats should do, real quick? They should just, when McCain said he was going to suspend his campaign and go to Washington, they all should have just left. And said, you know what, if John McCain is coming here, we will not have a deal. Because this is all political theater. It's, you know, obviously we know what's going on, and I think a lot of people do see it too. Usually, you know, people get frustrated about the average American voter, Because they're just not, you know, I mean, they're worried about their lives, and they're not into the whole nuts and bolts of what's going on. But I think American people, as we've been seeing polls, have been saying that they know it's a political stunt. But this is textbook Republican disaster capitalism, right? They come in, Paulson, Bernanke, the sky is falling, we have to do something now, and now they're going to make John McCain like the king to come in and swoop in. And again, who will fit the bill? Americans.
Well, and I mean, the other thing I think that we need to stress is just the extraordinary level of irresponsibility in the Bush administration in allowing this crisis to get to the point that it got to, which was not just predictable but predicted by many, many people. You know, Alan Greenspan was saying a year ago that there was a housing bubble. You know, and what bubbles do is they burst because they're filled with hot air. Everyone knows it. This was entirely predicted, and they end up with a 2.5-page, barely 2.5-page plan with one idea, which is to turn the U.S. government into the world's biggest trash can. Take all of this trash and give it to the taxpayers. That is their only idea, their only preparation.
That was the most insane thing I've ever seen. And, of course, John McCain, he hasn't read those 2.5 pages yet.
No, he didn't have time.
Right?
And I have to say, I really do, I've said this before, but I really think that their biggest mistake was how short it was, because it was short enough that people actually read. I mean, usually what they do is ram through legislation that's hundreds of pages long and say we have to do it in 2 days and nobody has a chance to read it, and then they read it after the fact. But I think in this case, brevity really was their downfall.
For the first time.
One thing that I think it is really important to resist this bipartisanship at this point. This is not a moment actually where the priority is bipartisanship. The priority is intelligence. The priority is getting to the root of this problem. The financial sector has abused the trust of the American people. And there's a couple of other points I just want to stress. This idea of John McCain scapegoating greedy CEOs is obviously a joke, because he's flanked by some of the greediest CEOs in the world. But the real issue is, you know, you can't be shocked by the fact that CEOs want to make as much money as they possibly can. You know, that's like being shocked that movie stars want to be famous, you know, and that politicians want power. This is what corporations are built to do. This is what CEOs are built to do, and it's the role of government to regulate those CEOs.
Right. I mean, it's like, you know,
the rules of the game.
That CEO pay with their float. It's almost like the MacGuffin, right? The MacGuffin of this whole thing. Because, oh, yes, you know, they got $42 million or they got $20 million, and that's horrible. But when you're talking about $700 billion, $20 million really is inconsequential. It's about the abuse that you were talking about of this whole system. And you know, did you get a chance to read Paul O'Neill's book that Ron Suskind wrote?
Yeah.
And in it, you know, the most fascinating chapter I wrote was when he wanted CEOs to be accountable, and it was the CEOs that called Bush, right? And in his book, he said they were his base, and so the CEOs revolted and said they'd rather resign than actually sign a paper that says that their books were in order. This is insane. Where,
let's remember that Henry Paulson was chosen to replace Paul O'Neill because he was a team player.
This bubble was not only going to burst, it was going to explode like no other bubble before it.
And they all knew it. They all knew it, and they were making money as fast as they could based on their belief that they would get bailed out. Because, of course, it's entirely consistent with the Bush administration over the past 7 years. You know, one of the other big lies floating around is the idea that this is somehow a departure from the way the Bush administration usually does business. It's not a departure. It's just a change in the direction of the flow. You know, this is what they have been doing for 7 years, is transferring public money, public wealth, into the hands of private crony contractors. And now, as their final act, they are taking the bad debts of the corporate sector and transferring it into the taxpayers. There is no aberration here. There is no big surprise. This is entirely consistent with everything they've done.
I completely agree. You know, it's kind of, as I was, you know, watching it unfold today, the shock to the American people, you know, this isn't like 9/11, because when we, you know, I mean, I'm from New York, and I had friends in the World Trade Center, and you know, we can go into that, but when I saw that, I was truly shocked, and I was in shock for 2 weeks afterwards when I saw the towers go down. Now, with this whole financial market, when people read, okay, we had a bailout, you know, AIG and Lehman Brothers, you know, went under, you know, to the average Americans, they still, that's not that kind of a shock. And that's why Bush, and that's why Paulson had to go on TV and give you that exclamation point, because really, you know, you can go and read Paul Krugman. I think now Richard Shelby was waving some paper out there. He has 20 economists, right? He doesn't tell you what economists are saying, you know, Paulson's idea is wrong. Does anybody really know what's going to happen?
Well, of course not. And, you know, it, what Bush was saying when he went on television last night was, you know, we have to bail out the people at the very top because this could trickle down and affect you. There are many more direct ways of helping Americans who are facing foreclosure on their homes and even helping companies that are not able to access credit. You can actually do it directly. You can do it from the bottom up instead of saving the people at the top and hoping that trickles down. And I think that the anger of Americans directed at Wall Street and this bailout is a very fair comeuppance for Wall Street, because there has been a total severing between what is good for Wall Street and what is good for Americans. You know, in the 90s, this was the line. What's good for Wall Street is good for Main Street. And Americans do not believe that. They know it's not true. It's been Wall Street's predatory practices, not just subprime, but, you know, betting up companies that laid off workers, rewarding companies for moving jobs overseas, just acting in predatory ways, in myriad ways, and exacerbating the climate crisis and acting in completely irresponsible ways. And they have severed themselves from regular people, and now when they're going down, regular people don't believe that means that things are bad for them too. And that was Bush's job, to try to scare people and say what's bad for them is really bad for you. But I think after so many years of what's good for you, he's not being good for regular people. It's a much harder sell.
It's almost a different, you know, set of rules with this one. And
yeah, but I think what's important to stress is that this money is money that could be used actively preventing foreclosure.
Yes, it could.
Guaranteeing those mortgages. They could be using this money, a fraction of it, to keep people directly in their homes. And they could be stimulating and rebuilding the fundamentals of the economy by investing in infrastructure, public works style projects, a green style New Deal, all of the investments that are so desperately needed, new technology, investing in the real economy and getting away from this casino economy. And because they want to throw all of this money at Wall Street, that is money that will not be available for those real investments.
Been a complete failure, and I've been writing that conservatism is dead, and one of the fundamental problems, I don't want to get into the election too much, has been this bipartisanship notion, which kind of drives me off the rails, because the Republicans have run this country, what they've done, you know, the whole goal is to get rid of the New Deal and destroy every program that's helped Americans, because it lessens their profit margin. And they've been able to do that over these last 8 years, as you say, and Americans see this. That's why there's so much more anger to Wall Street, because the wealth now, it's like we're going into royalty, right? These people used to be buying houses, and now they were looking for villas. And people are really feeling this crunch. So
the smartest thing that the Obama campaign could do is oppose this bailout.
I completely agree, and I think that they should get out in front of it, because McCain is going to come out tomorrow. He's going to go to the debate, but he's going to say, again, they're such great, you know, do you watch that show Mad Men?
Yeah.
It's like they are the perfect ad men, because their jingoistic talking points are so simple to sell. Even though they're destroying you, they tell you they can paint it so that they're saving you. Anyway, Obama should say no. He should get out in front of this.
Now, the more he has taken direct aim at the ideology, the more he has stood up to Wall Street these past 2 weeks, the better his numbers have been. He is in line with where people are at. They're worried about those blue-collar votes. Go and get them. Close this bailout.
I agree.
So unpopular.
No, I agree. I mean, the Republicans needed to do something to, you know, once this bailout started to come, look, this has been planned for a long time. I mean, it's at the end of his administration. It didn't just all of a sudden today, we need this $700 billion. They've been planning this.
They've been planning it for 6 months.
Right. And it's really sickening. You know what? He should probably demand that Paulson be fired. If Paulson comes up with that 2.5-page, can you imagine if you're working in a corporation, okay, and Paulson, you know, is Mr. Goldman Sachs. Imagine if one of his employees came up to him and gave him a 2.5-page plan to bail out his company. What would he do to that guy?
No, it's truly extraordinary.
What do you
have in place that is born of lack of transparency, lack of accountability, and the Paulson plan is, let me dig a really big, deep, dark hole and throw $700 billion into it.
Yeah, I mean, when you talk about these numbers, again, they're so, you know, incomprehensible, until you really break down what you can buy with $700 or $1 trillion.
And we're up to $1 trillion if you include AIG,
yes.
if you include Bear Stearns, and Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, we're over $1 trillion with the $700 billion.
You know, Wall Street is quite all right with their wingnut welfare to them, but you know, you talk. But where is the O'Reilly saying, just pull up your bootstraps, right? This is America. You too can be successful if you only work hard enough, but that's not true with Wall Street.
John, and this is why it's important, you know, that you get out there now, is that we had a window where you had people like Chris Dodd speaking out against this plan because they were getting bombarded with calls from their constituents.
Oh, yes.
But starting tomorrow, the Democrats are going to be spinning this as hard as the Republicans, and they're going to claim that they won big victories. They're going to say they got equity, that they've protected against corporate greed. They won the most token concessions. None of it is meaningful. All of it can be gotten around, and the sickness at the core, which is that $700 billion, remains. This deal is bad. It was bad yesterday. It's bad tomorrow, and everybody should be opposing it.
No, I agree. I mean, we are all speaking out. And one of the hard things...
The reason why people have to do that is because then both parties are going to hear from their constituents.
Oh, yeah.
That they don't want it.
No, I agree. And again, you know, when we get into the economic world, you know, it is difficult, again, because, you know, if economists had all the answers, nobody would ever lose money in the stock market, right? I mean, if it was that easy, everybody would go, okay, here's $1,000 to my broker, and in 6 months, you know, turn it to $100,000. It's so unpredictable. And it's hard for a lot of Americans to grasp what is going on, realistically.
I think Americans grasp
but they are.
What's going on, which is that they're being robbed. And we got into this mess through the tyranny of complexity,
mm-hmm.
and the way in which economists and financial experts use complexity to shield themselves from regulation, democracy, and any accountability. So people should trust their gut on this.
Right, and they are. I mean, they really are. It's people are just looking at this and saying, whoa, hold on a second. I mean, they have frightened people enough for people to say, we probably need to do something. But let's face it, is the stock market at 6,000 today? Is the stock, you know, did they lose 1,200 points today? Did they lose 1,200 points yesterday? No, they haven't.
I'll tell you something, John. I think that they did their best to scare the market. I mean, Bush's speech last night was completely irresponsible.
Oh, without my
God. He's lucky the market didn't dive. And John McCain announcing he's suspending his campaign in the name of America, that's ridiculous. That's sending completely alarmist messages to the market, and he knows it.
It's like our economy, a lot of it is based on perception with all these just fantastic, as you said, these numbers, and really it's like this confidence factor, and that's why you never hear a president talk the way President Bush talked the other night. You never hear that doom and gloom, especially on economic issues. I mean, you can get honest without making it sound like they're going to explode a nuke over Cleveland.
Yeah.
Anyway, listen, I know that I want to keep you any longer.
Well, that was a good note to end on.
Yes, we can. I want to thank Naomi Klein once again joining Crooks and Liars. Our readers love you. We all love you. And let's talk again real soon.
Absolutely. Thanks, John.
Okay, Naomi.